Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. Forklifts have long been the backbone of material transport for warehouses, manufacturing facilities, and logistics centers. Whether it's the autonomous forklifts powered by advanced robotics or AI that are rapidly gaining traction, or traditional forklifts operated by humans, safety remains the critical priority. Today, we're exploring the evolving world of forklift safety and the role sensor data fusion is playing in shaping the future. From the tried and true manually operated forklifts to the sensor-enabled lifts that enhance operator awareness, and to the fully autonomous mobile robots that handle materials without any human at the wheel, each stage presents its own set of safety considerations and best practices. Joining me for this discussion is Dave Gustafson, Mobile Robot Industry Solutions Lead at Six Sensor Intelligence, and Stephen LeFevers, Global Vice President of Emerging Technology at Yale Lift Truck Technologies. Together, we're exploring how companies can navigate the shifts that come with transitioning from human-driven operations to technology-assisted and even fully autonomous systems. And along the way, we'll look at how integrated sensor data can help reduce incidents, improve productivity, and create a safer, more connected warehouse and DC environment. Dave, I want to start with you. Can you provide an overview of the most notable trends in forklift safety and automation today?
Yeah, there's a number of them. Lots of talk and banter. So a couple that come to mind, of course, electrification of the forklifts, automation, right? The sensor fusion of the different sensing technologies and capabilities, AI and how it's impacting the ease of deployment and the standards. So this combination of tech innovation and standards, both coming in hot for the improvement of safety and productivity at our warehouses and our facilities.
For those who may not know, what is sensor data fusion and how does it assist in enhancing forklift safety?
Well, consider how we see, listen, feel, smell, and taste our sensors. If one sensor, if we relied on that and it worked all the time, great, we'd certainly do it, but we just can't, right? Just like we can't see very well in the dark, the same is true of forklifts and their use of LiDAR, cameras, ultrasonics, radar, IMUs, it's just a whole slew of them, right? And sensor fusion is integrating and normalizing this data, these sensors, to build an accurate representation or understanding of the environment. And for forklift operations, sensor fusion is dramatically improving safety. And I see it improving in three distinct ways: with object detection, where it's combining LiDAR and vision, allowing detection and classification, even in low light and cluttered environments. And collision avoidance, where radar ultrasonics can be used, like in passenger cars, for blind spot detection to enable braking and rerouting. And the third is navigation, fusing LiDAR, IMUs, odometry data, allowing for highly reliable and accurate localization. And ultimately, it's this sensor fusion that's creating redundancy and reliability, allowing for new levels of safe operations.
Stephen, with such advanced features, can you explain how safety needs differ between manually operated forklifts, sensor-enabled forklifts, and then fully automated systems like AMRs?
That's a great question. I would say that the needs do not differ. I think the solutions do. And let me just explain a little bit. So safety is really protection of people, products, and property. That is it. That need, I don't think, will ever change. I think what's different now is that the solutions available across manual, sensor, and fully automated solutions really vary dramatically against that need. Let me go into a few specifics. So if you think about manually operated lift trucks, as a standard, Yale puts a telematic solution on all manual operated forklift trucks. And so that enables us to use and utilize safety from a monitoring standpoint. In addition, we get to look at what type of situations do those trucks go under that are potentially unsafe. Examples are high speeds, impacts, etc. So manual operated forklifts have a standardized level of monitoring. Then you have these evolution of sensor-enabled forklift trucks. You've gone from basic let's call it object detection type of laser solutions to an AI camera to a fully utilized, fully digital twin, real-time location solution at a site. In every one of those situations, when we think about sensor-enabled, Yale's focus is to always make sure in those situations the operator remains in control. So it's an assist tool for that operator. So we treat alerts like slowdown as an alert for the operator versus taking their control away. If you think about it, it is not an autopilot. It is an assist. Then that graduates to automation. Automation, the needs are the same. Property, people, products. But in this case, I really can make sure that there's an intelligent decision behind every movement of that lift truck. That gives me an ability to scan multiple different scenarios from the exact location of where it's at, if it's a safe location, to what 3D cameras see, to what lasers see, all together to make sure that every movement is putting me in the best position to really meet those safety goals.
With that, Dave, can you describe what safety considerations are necessary for human workers interacting with these technologies?
The safety needs differ depending on the level of human involvement, the level of autonomy, and the environmental complexity. And the safety standards, such as B56, outline design requirements, operational guidelines, and maintenance of these forklifts, considering these three sort of big differences and areas of distinction. And a big factor here is training our operators and employees. So whether it's a manually operated fleet, mixed, or a fully autonomous one, our people need to be trained, and especially in mixed collaborative workflows that need to consider human error from distraction and fatigue and the inherent inconsistency that comes from humans.
What are the most common safety challenges for companies that are relying on traditional forklifts?
Yeah, for traditional forklifts, in what I hinted at previously, it's this operator error. It's all too common. Relatedly, it's due to the lack of visibility and real-time hazard detection. A couple other ones are inadequate maintenance and improper load handling that can lead to tip-overs and falling loads. Those are just some of the most common safety challenges currently.
I think the biggest challenge is really navigating between everything that's in the industry. Put the manual bucket in one and automation separate. For manual customers, if you take them down the journey, which we typically take all these customers down a journey, which is, all right, let's talk about telematics and data. If we were to provide you with a lot additional data, would you be able to consume it and act on it? That's not an obvious yes to most customers, believe it or not. They don't have a lot of time. So if you're like, oh, I don't want to monitor it and really adjust by monitoring, I want added intelligent assist added to the truck, then that guides them to that, the sensor tech. And then once we know that we want them in sensor tech, we've got options. And so the fluidity of this innovation area has created confusion because there's so many options out there. And then those customers have to say, well, what are approved by the OEMs versus things that are added after the fact? And so I believe the vast amount of options in this area of sensor tech is probably the biggest challenge facing manual lift truck customers.
So how do you approach reducing the risk of human error when it comes to both manual and automated forklifts? Steven?
In terms of human risk, I think that we have to notify operators multiple ways. I'll give you an example. There are some solutions out there that are pure play audible. They have a big loudening buzzer. But a lot of our customer feedback is that there are a lot of loud applications already and they don't notice that buzzer. So then you say, okay, well, we're going to do a light. Well, maybe they'll see a blinking light that even tells you the directionality of the pedestrian and how close they are, along with an audible. That would be enough. And our customer's feedback is no, the most sensitive alert for an operator is they feel the deceleration of the lift truck occurring. If you're ever driving a car and you notice your car's power slows down, you don't understand why. It happens now with some lane assist technology that's on cars. You think to yourself, my car is breaking down or I'm running out of fuel. It is a visceral feeling that you're like, oh, this doesn't compute. My foot is on the gas. It is slowing down. The customer feedback to really get the full sensitivity and all the kind of central inputs of a human person involved, the mixture of all three of those together is the most powerful. To reduce human error, I think that what we've done here is that in our mapping, we don't just trust the map on its own. We have contingent solutions that look at the map as well as its own cameras. I think the standards over time have adjusted to where automation units now are forced to have multiple contingent paths of detecting those objects and not allowing a map or a selection of a route to to really involve human error to occur. I think that's the adjustment of how the sensor tech is evolving to really rely less and less on avoid as much as possible that risk of human error. It still exists, by the way. We had a solution of a fully sensor tech truck recently at a customer, and that customer was very harsh on that truck and was damaging the unit and things were coming apart. And then the solution was weaker and weaker because of it. I don't want to say it eliminates it, but I think there's an obvious step to approaching reduction of human error going forward.
To add to that, how do sensor-based safety systems further reduce the risk of human error in high-traffic warehouse zones? Dave, do you want to take this one?
In high-traffic, dynamic environments, it's really difficult for an operator to see everything, right? Forklifts and warehouses have blind spots, and it's only a matter of time before the error is an accident and an incident. So sensors can provide real-time hazard detection, even around corners. These safety systems can provide visual and audible alerts. Some even actively apply the brake to slow and stop the vehicle. And another area, not typically the fan favorite of operators, are the behavioral monitoring sensors to log speeding, braking, turning, if there's an impact. These, while not the fan favorite, it is one of my favorite use cases to improve fleet management. And that can lead ultimately to avoid congestion and unsafe encounters, bottlenecks that arrive. You know, after deployment, you learn and adjust for these conditions.
When it comes to congestion, what role does environmental mapping and localization play in keeping autonomous solutions safe around warehouse workers?
This is absolutely key. And it's environmental mapping and localization of AMRs and the people, just understanding the entire workflow and operations, right? And what gets even more interesting or impressive is when you take mapping and localization, combine it with this intelligent navigation and dynamic path planning. This means reduces the frequency of human to vehicle encounters. It can be optimized for both safety and productivity at the same time. Fewer encounters mean fewer slowdowns. And this is leading to a new concept we're hearing, a dynamic safety. So it's a fun area right now.
How do these AMRs handle unexpected human behavior or forklift traffic in real time?
This unexpected human behavior, can we predict it? It's super interesting. So today, sensor fusion, this obstacle detection, anti-collision, dynamic path planning, these are all contributing to a real-time adjustment to unexpected human behavior. And where we're going tomorrow, especially as standards evolve to incorporate AI, allow for more dynamic and predictive models to be used. And these will contribute to further optimize safety and productivity. It's just a super exciting area and what this future means as we incorporate some of the AI modeling.
Stephen, as we begin to look ahead, are there limitations to autonomous vehicle safety today that will be addressed in the near future?
I mean, absolutely. So if you think about automated forklift trucks, depending on how you cut it, there's up to 200 models across all the different types of units you incur. Like, so if you're thinking about capacity, lift height, seat arrangement, what type of product it moves, there is a large myriad of type of products available out there that are manual and a very small subset, which are automated, right? And so I think from a limitation, we're seeing that. What we've noticed as a bigger challenge right now is we've had to get over the hurdle of cost and complexity with our customers. Because again, as I mentioned before, 100% of customers want automation, 100% of them. 15% of them use it. They use it because it's, in many times, they're multiple month, $1 million deployments. So cost is a challenge. And then from a complexity standpoint, they're too complex to change and adapt with the needs of the business. Like, our new platform destroys both of those challenges. And so we feel like that even if we were to build every model without addressing those two challenges, it wouldn't matter. So we're addressing those challenges first. And you'll see every year new products come out from you that are within that platform or that kind of attack method of really destroying the complexity challenges, destroying the cost complexity so these customers can get in and feel more comfortable about beginning their automation journey with forklift trucks.
So let's get into what types of organizations should consider transitioning from manual forklifts to sensor-enabled ones. Are there ones that should stay manual or potentially try a combination of both? Dave, let's start with you, and then Stephen can add his thoughts.
Such a good question. So a lot of organizations are considering this right now. So and it deserves some careful consideration. Here's a couple things to consider. So one, defining the objectives, the requirements. This means really understanding the workflow, the KPIs, what needs improvement, and so on. Really getting some definition around that. And number two, you need to assess the current operations and the risks. So there are a history of near misses. And the third, after the technology selection, you've got to train the team, as we spoke about earlier, run a pilot and monitor, analyze, improve, and if successful, scale this. And all the while, considering standards and open source, keeping this agile and flexible. We've seen in a couple instances, proprietary solutions can mean some vendor lock-in conditions or inflexibility should you encounter things down the road.
I think that just like in your car, all forklift trucks will have full telematics and full sensor tech available on all of them. For people that are familiar with blue lights, I remember when they were first available and we were monitoring the input of pretty much the orders of blue lights, which is this light that forecasts out for walking pedestrians when that truck is coming that way. And it was a dramatic shift of almost 0% take up to a full standard overnight. I mean, it took over a few years, but it was immediate. We're going to see the same thing with these cameras. It's just, there's been so much technology built in facial recognition and other things for consumers that we're able to apply that technology to really make that lift truck a lot more intelligent related to detecting things. I believe these cameras will go the way of the blue light and become a standard over time. We're actually in EMEA, in Europe, we're seeing a massive take-up rate. Like, percent of units are starting to have these sensor tags added on. And so I think every customer should say, listen, if I can detect pedestrians and alert my operator multiple different ways, I need to add that to these units. I don't see how it doesn't become an imperative in the future. We try to offer a scalable set of solutions to every customer. The only question is, do I start at the basic and then graduate, or do I instill every bit of sensor tech? And there is a cost component to that. And I think that is a big choice, right? I don't think it's like what type of customer should consider or should not consider going sensor. I think all of them are going sensor.
Stephen, if an organization is going to adopt automated forklifts, what should they consider from both a safety standpoint and an operational perspective?
Automated forklifts is very interesting. From our vantage point, 100% of customers want automated forklift trucks, but probably less than 20% of them are using them. And I think that's really because there's a concern that automated lift trucks limit flexibility. That's an inherent benefit of a manual lift truck. Our platform that we're hoping to kind of continue to grow out in the market that we launched recently at ProMat was our relay solution, Yale Relay, that is very flexible. From an operational perspective, you get that full flexibility, right? So you're able to adjust routes over time, add, remove rack, and not require a software engineer to come on site and program that for you. It's enabled. It's very drag and drop, very screen friendly, as I call it. From a safety standpoint, really, from an automation standpoint, you are really leveling up safety when you introduce automated forklift trucks. We have some of our automated reach trucks that are 50,000 hours of use. 50,000 hours, they look brand new because that truck knows not to run into the wall. It knows not to run into an aisle or a rack. It knows not to. It's not going to. They look brand new. 50,000 hours. So you are upping your game. You do need to consider the levels or the areas of interaction between manual and automated forklift truck. And when we commission an automation site, we're very protective of that and mindful of that as we commission sites to try to avoid traffic from manual standpoint, or at least create a segment to where there's not an opportunity for collision between manual and operator. Or in best case, add sensor tech to all manual trucks at that site to be protective against those automated forklift trucks.
Interesting. So once sensor-enabled lifts are in place, what's the pathway to fully autonomous systems? Dave?
This gets interesting. So autonomous systems require certainly a more comprehensive software stack. So this is the software stack consists of localization, navigation, some level of fleet management. A couple things to look into and understand are things like SLAM, the simultaneous localization and mapping, dynamic path planning, interoperability. And this gets into the standard, which we refer to often as VDA 5050, ways for AMRs to communicate and integrate with systems.
Are there any best practices or must-have safety protocols during these transitions?
Yeah, in this discussion, I think a couple to call out. B56 is a key reference here. It's a safety standard for forklifts. I also recommend here the use of a third-party assessor, a risk assessment, and a safety expert to be assigned to support this effort. And as I mentioned earlier and related, this interoperability standard, VDA 5050, this is specific to a unified communication structure to allow just a faster, more reliable commissioning and operation of vehicles. So those are a couple must-have safety sort of protocols.
I'm curious to hear more about the data side of things. What kind of data infrastructure or digital maturity should companies have in place before making the technological leap to sensor-enabled, fully automated lift trucks and AMRs?
Good question. The first I hear so often is really understand your network connectivity. Having a reliable wireless communications is super important. Also having a good industrial IoT framework and considering on-prem advantages, on-site advantages, and cloud operations, which we often see it more for monitoring and analysis and optimization. Just understanding what those advantages mean. And of course, cybersecurity policy, everyone's favorite. Wherever possible, we want to leverage, again, the agnostic technologies and standards that are coming. We're seeing more and more of the abstraction of communications, the abstraction layers applied to allow for agile design and recovery and just sort of this future proofing.
Thanks. To wrap up this discussion, I'd like to hear from Dave on where he thinks forklift safety and autonomous vehicles will evolve during the next 5 to 10 years.
It'll come from two areas, and it makes some sense when you think about this. So one is the tech innovation. This is where our company is heavily leaning into what's possible in sensors for detecting, a compute for analyzing, making decisions, AI for inferring and making intelligent decisions and actions. So that tech innovation is one key area. The other is the standards. The standards to keep an eye on, VDA 5050, B56, we talked about. Then there's this OMLOC's RTLS standard, which is super intriguing too. When you look a couple years out, it's a way to normalize and ground yourself in this global coordinate understanding. You know, today the warehouses have its own XY coordinate system that is independent of what GPS, RTK, and these other RTLS and localization techniques are. So to get a unified understanding of the environment to allow faster calibration, commissioning, and deployment, this is super interesting with the standards and such as OMLOC's. So the combination of this tech innovation and the standards, they'll allow for new levels of productivity and safety. And there's just a big argument where productivity and safety are somewhat opposing. Improving productivity comes at a cost to safety and vice versa. But this doesn't have to be that way. That with the sensor fusion and AI and new dynamic safety implementations catered to the specific workflow process, it's possible. We can improve both of these at the same time. And companies will be able to control the workflow situationally within a dynamic safety environment. And when we focus on individual machines and hazard points, it can introduce unnecessary interruptions and slow that throughput and productivity. But I think this future here is where we look at the holistic approach, constantly adjusting and account for where people and objects are located. It absolutely will improve the throughput, quality, and productivity at the same time as enhancing safety. So super exciting future ahead using these resources and innovations. So captivating. There's a fun use case and story I've come across. Electrification of forklifts is a big trend, right? But that means that they're heavier, just like our cars are heavier. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the trailers are ready for this weight. And what's happened is we want autonomous, heavy, electrified forklifts to enter and exit trailers safely. There needs to be inspection of the floor. We've had a forklift actually go through and damage flooring because of the weight of these, and not all the trailers can support the weight. I found that as a super interesting one. We've also seen where humidity changes results in even dripping from the ceiling that causes problems on our autonomous forklifts as they're entering and exiting trailers. And so the environmental conditions are also a factor here to consider. So while these are big trends, like the electrification and so on, there's still physics that get in the way and the environmental conditions just get in the way and slow us down. Going in and out of cold storage is a real problem for our sensors as they fog up. These are fun sort of trials and learnings as we go.
Thanks again to Dave and Stephen for joining me in this discussion on the innovations in forklift safety and for sharing their insights on how data sensor fusion can change the game in the forklift safety arena. And thanks to you, our audience, for tuning in. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey.